Welcome, everyone, to Living Health 365, February's interview, the expert call. Today, we're going to be talking about clutter-free health, how organization can be a key to both physical, emotional, and mental transformation. As many of us are focusing on specific issues with our health, we're realizing that there are so many other things in our lives that are equally as important in order for those health goals to be realized. So one of the goals is organization that continues to come up time and time again in many of our private sessions. So many of you have set very specific goals in the realm of organization because you feel that your success with weight loss or controlling symptoms that you may be having or learning how to eat and live healthier is directly tied to your organizational level. And you know what? You're right. Our spatial and mental organization is extremely key to the state of our health and how we can move forward in our healing process. So it's very important for me in this program to bring an expert in within this field into the program that we can certainly get focused with some direction and how best to fuel our organization efforts. And as you have, may have experienced on our private calls, I may be offering some suggestions on organization and some of the tools that have worked for me in the past and currently, but obviously I'm not an expert in this field, so I really wanted to bring somebody in that can direct us and guide us in all the most efficient ways possible. So I'd like to introduce Jana Hartwell. She is president of Sensible Organizing Solutions. Jana is a certified professional organizer. She resides here in San Diego, and her mission is to really help smart, busy, and sometimes overwhelmed people simplify their lives by learning to be clutter-free and more organized. Does that ring true for anyone out there? Before founding SOS while residing in the San Francisco Bay Area, Mrs. Hartwell worked as a project coordinator and senior executive assistant for several biotech firms, SRI International, Stanford Medical Centers, and she has over 30 years of comprehensive administrative experience. So Jana has been highlighted in the North County Union Tribune and Living in Style magazine, displaying organizational articles and tips to mainstream Southern California. She's also been highlighted in TV and radio segments such as Garage Makeover, Mom's Town, Busy Military Mom Gets Organized, and Easing Clutter Headaches. So maybe you've seen her or heard about her about town, that is if you're living in the Southern California area. And Jana also has regular speaking engagements at various San Diego venues on the topic of organization and clutter-free tips. So on a personal note, when I first spoke with Jana, I realized that she too is very aware of health and food and healing the body. And she sees on a daily basis in her work the direct tie and correlation to her clients' level of organization and their health. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today and some of those links that we're seeing in real-life scenarios. So I want to welcome you, Jana. Thank you for being here with us today.
Thank you, Elizabeth. That was a great intro. I could not have said it better.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. Yes. I want to make sure I got all that right.
Definitely.
And also just for people to look for you in different venues and within articles, because that, that's great if they can hear about you here and then continue to follow your work. So hopefully we can do that. So I would ask, though, even though I gave you a nice intro there, that you give us a brief description on how you got into this line of work, what drew you into it, and really who you are so that we can get to know you a little bit better.
Okay. Well, as Elizabeth mentioned, I have a great background in administrative and project coordination, and I've always been great at organizing like the mad scientist types. And although I loved doing what I was doing, I was never real passionate about it. I was just kind of filling in the blanks, having a job to have a job. And at one point when I was very frustrated with my job in the Bay Area after about 5 years of restructuring, one of my cousins started her business as a professional organizer and told me about it and said, Jana, I know you're unhappy this would be right up your alley. Why don't you check into it? You would be a great organizer. So she invited me to a National Association of Professional Organizers meeting up in the San Francisco area. I went. I was so impressed. I've never seen or been in such an organized meeting from start to finish. Started on time, ended on time. It was great, interesting. I looked around and I said, oh, my God, these are my people. And I just, right then, I felt, this is my purpose in life. And I was almost 40 by the time I figured that out. And I thought, okay, I'm going to try this. So I plotted my escape from the biotech firm and started my business, started doing some test clients, friends and families, and then had some paid clients and started talking to my sisters and siblings down in San Diego where I grew up, and they convinced me to make the big change all at once and move it all down to San Diego because they were popping out babies right and left, and they wanted an auntie. So I did. After a few months up in the Bay Area, I moved it all to San Diego, joined the NAPO San Diego chapter immediately, jumped right on the board, got fully involved, and I have been a member ever since and been in business ever since. And that was in 98, 99.
And how has your business grown, would you say? What is it? What is your main clientele?
Oh, goodness. It's usually residential. Mm-hmm. Women, mostly women, I would say, between their 30s and 60s, some with families, some not, professional women, homemakers, just anyone who's calling me feeling overwhelmed, just I can't take it anymore. Some may have been organized before, but due to a major life transition like having kids or moving or a divorce, find themselves overwhelmed and not knowing where to start.
Great.
But I do small businesses as well.
Okay. You do professional organizations as well. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. And that is, you know, I commend you for following your passion because it's very obvious that you are passionate about organizing. And believe me, not everyone is. So there's definitely a place and a need for you. And we're just really excited to learn from you today and pick your brain a bit, if you don't mind. If you could share with us why you think this topic is important, so especially as it relates to our health and our mindset and being present at any point in time, you know, why should we care about organizing our lives and homes and selves? I mean, logically, we all know that being organized is better, but as it pertains to this program, you know, being more efficient and having spatial Zen, I will call it, is extremely vital. And I really want to send that message out today because it is coming up a lot with clients within this program. And for those of us that haven't considered it or thought about putting resources toward it or energy toward it, you know, I'd love to hear why you think it's important.
Okay. Well, when people call me, they are usually very upset, very frustrated. You can hear it in their voice. They are overwhelmed. They're usually depressed and don't even know that they're depressed. Their life's out of control, basically. And not just that they have clutter in their environment, but they really feel that their life is out of control. And usually it is. But the clutter is all a part of that. The disorganization is all a part of that. So emotionally, they're overwrought. So just the act of getting rid of the clutter helps free them up emotionally because clutter blocks energy. And it's like there's a feng shui element to it where one of the first steps they recommend is that people get rid of the clutter. And then you can start designing the space to help them all over improve their lives. But it is actually an energy blocker and physically and emotionally and spiritually and mentally. So in that realm, just to get your head clear, start decluttering your environment. You could just feel it immediately.
And, you know, can you speak a little bit more to the, well, both the emotional and the physical? Because I think those are probably the most relevant to this program. and how to
okay.
move forward. Yeah.
So we know that when we walk into a cluttered space, most people feel very uncomfortable. So our bodies naturally tense up, and we close up, and we feel a little bit stressed. It's like we want to get out of there. If we walk into a nice, clean, orderly, aesthetically pleasing room, we feel great. And so there's a direct connection between that feeling of blocked energy, feeling depressed and clutter. And physically, the negative results of living and working around clutter or being disorganized is very far-reaching. When we're depressed, we tend to get physically ill more often. And and again, clutter and the shame and the guilt of living around clutter adds to our feeling of depression, I think. It's also difficult and sometimes dangerous for one to walk through or maneuver around paths of clutter. Mm-hmm. So injuries can occur, especially to the elderly and small children. You have to think about that. Things get very dusty, you know, when clutter's around. It's hard to clean when there's piles of clutter, especially paper clutter. And the more clutter you have, of course, the harder it is to find things when you need them, and that causes more stress, which actually adds to that field of chaos and being out of control. So important deadlines, opportunities are often missed. We often have to repurchase items because we can't find the original ones when it's time to use them.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also stigma. You know, although you may not be lazy or unclean or out of control, if you have a lot of clutter, it makes you appear as if you might be.
Mm.
And just knowing that other people see you that way usually adds to people's sense of guilt and shame. So when they call me, it's really a big step for them to call me.
Mm.
It's hard for them to admit, you know, that they're in this state and that they need help. But everyone can be helped.
Yeah. No, it's interesting, and you know, one of the correlations that I hear or that I see on a daily basis is I would say 95% of the clients that I speak to from a nutritional standpoint want to gain control over their behavior with food, because when you don't know what to put in your body, that really fuels you, or you're very confused, or you're having cravings and you don't understand why, there is a major sense of lack of control there, and that plays into obviously stress and depression and all of the things that go along with that. But this is so in line with what you're saying, is that when we have clutter or disorganization, again, we feel out of control. We don't know where to start. And those go hand in hand. So can you see, you know, I would just like to point out this, the sense of, okay, my home or my kitchen or my office is cluttered. I don't know where to start. I don't know what to do. I'm going to reach for food. So in order to gain some control over the situation. So they're very, very heavily tied together. Do you see that with some of your clients?
Yes, in fact, that's one of the things I was going to mention, is that often people who call me already are struggling with food addiction, with some kind of problems there with their weight or other types of addictions, and just areas in their life where they are undisciplined and out of control. And invariably, whenever we start to release the excess and declutter their environments, that fresh energy flows around them, flows around us, and that results in an immediate outburst of positive healing energy. People start to feel better. They start to feel better about themselves, respect themselves, and I just see people start dropping the pounds, and their whole lives just seem to improve. Their relationships, you know, with their spouses or kids improve. They feel better about themselves.
Yeah.
And everyone who enters their space feels better. There's just an energy shift that is really dramatic.
Absolutely. And so many people get caught up with the fact that weight is completely tied to food. And that is couldn't be further from the truth. And I really try to counsel and coach on this a lot, but you know, very much we have a lot of control over holding on to the weight, regardless of what we're putting in our mouths. And with that energy, and there's so much, I mean, we could spend the whole session just talking about energy, right? And as it pertains to the subject, But that energy is so key. And for those of you that are listening and haven't experienced that yet, you will know when it happens to you. It is dramatic. And when you do surround yourself with that positive energy and the clean energy that Jana is referring to, it is so incredibly freeing, and light bulbs start going off all over the place. And that's really what, you know, one of the things I really hope for in this program, and that's a main reason I wanted to bring Jana in, because organization may not be your energy gatekeeper. Maybe there's something else, but for some of you, this will definitely ring true. And definitely, you know, everyone can benefit from the information. So with that being said, let's dive into some more here. What is the biggest myth about this subject that you see in your work? And if you could just provide some clarity around that for us.
I think one of the biggest myths I hear is that being highly organized will somehow inhibit you from being interesting or spontaneous. You know, we see really organized people as having more structure in their lives, but it doesn't mean they have to be boring. Now, I'm certainly not boring. I'm definitely spontaneous, because think about it, how spontaneous can you be if you can't even find your keys, your wallet, your purse? So having a place for everything and everything in its place is just going to make things smoother for you all around. You'll be able to pick up at a moment and just take off without spending 20 minutes looking for keys.
That's interesting. So you're saying that life becomes more freeing, and you're making yourself more available for more opportunities and experiences if
Definitely.
You get your organization in line, right?
Yes.
That's great. Yeah, well, that's happened to me many times. I can't find my keys, so I can't wait for all these tips today. And I think I'm pretty organized, so I can't wait to hear more.
I mean, right. Every now and then, I mean, even the most organized of us, we have moments where things are just really stressful, out of control. And even me, sometimes, very, very rarely, I cannot find my keys. And that's only because I deviated from my organized routine of putting my keys exactly where they're supposed to go every time. And once I deviate from that, it's like things are going to get a little more difficult. But it's the exception, not the rule. Most people live that way as a rule, where they don't have places for things, so they can't find things often.
Great. Well, and for so many of us that feel that we don't have time to, you know, cook good meals or prepare good breakfast or that type of thing, all of these, it's like a domino effect, right? So if you can find your keys, if you know where things are on a daily basis, then that time is freed up for all of the other things that we know that we should be doing for our health and for ourselves and for our families. So, yeah, that's great. So what are, you know, what's the biggest mistake you see people making when they're addressing organization in their home? So we'll start with that. Like, what are the things that people are doing wrong typically when they're, especially in the new year, right? Everyone gets in an organization, or even spring cleaning, everyone gets in organization mode. And, you know, what would you say, okay, you know, don't do this, do this instead.
Yeah, I can't think of one biggest mistake. There are so many, so I'll just give you some things that are very typical and why people end up calling me, because they've tried and tried and tried on their own. It's just not working.
Sure.
One is they get very impatient. They make a decision, yes, I want to get organized, I'm tired of living this way, and then they just go on a rampage of, okay, I'm going to set aside this day or this few hours and I'm going to organize this room. But they don't have any plan or methodical way to do it, and they're not getting rid of distractions as well. So one, people are impatient. They need to set aside enough time to work on the project. They have to realize that it's not usually going to get done in one day or in just a few hours or several sessions, because it probably took months and months, sometimes years, to build up to the state that it's in. So they need to be more patient and realistic about how long it's going to take for them to fix the problem. And then before they get in over their heads, ask for help. You know, people, one reason they delay in calling me is they keep thinking, oh, I should be able to do this. I should be able to do this. I can't be this stupid. It should be so simple. Should. And so they're embarrassed to call and ask for help. It could save them hours and hours of time if they just get an expert in there sometimes who can just give them some great methods to use, a very focused approach to use with their project so that they could be successful. And so one of the things they need to do is they need to have the right tools around them. They need to have boxes for sorting, boxes, bins, bags, so that they can sort like items out together. They need to make sure the phone's turned off so they're not answering the phone every time it rings. They need to make sure their children are being supervised, that they don't have any distractions, you know, no friends stopping by to chat. They have to set aside the time and really focus. And
For example, just so that we're all on the same page, if somebody was doing an overhaul on their home office or, let's say, just their personal office within their home. I mean, I have a home office, but, you know, let's say it's just their personal office at home with their bills and scheduling and all of that. What's realistic? What's something? Because I know a lot of people think I could do that in 2 hours, right? I'm gonna do that in 2 hours. I that's what I've thought in the past. Like, I should be able to get that done in a couple hours, right? I mean, I'm superwoman.
Right? And then what happened? Could you?
I would get through one pile of papers in 2 hours, right?
Yeah,
and that was
lucky.
A fraction. So what would you say is realistic? Is there a guideline for something?
Yeah, home offices and paperwork are by far the most typical reason people call me. Everyone has that problem. And, there are guidelines. So, and I can't tell you how long a typical home law office will take because the time it takes to do projects varies based on so many things. And typically it's the person itself, how fast they're able to make decisions. And when we're doing this on our own, it takes longer to make decisions. If you have someone there, even if they're not a professional organizer, but if they're organized, they're focused, they're there to be your guide and no other reason, not to chat and, you know, get distracted, then they can help you ask the right questions to make decisions on what are you going to do with this piece of paper. So I can give you a method right now that will help you get through your desktop and mounds of paper in a much faster way than you would picking up each piece and then, you know, overthinking every little thing.
Great.
So
are we going to do that,
that
now? Yeah,
sure.
We're ready.
It's called the FAT formula, F-A-T, trimming the fat. And it was not developed by me. It was developed by a colleague of mine called Barbara Hemphill. And she's a very high-profile organizer. She invented the Paper Tiger, Taming the Paper Tiger software. She's real big in the organization industry. We all love and respect her. And she's been a mentor of mine. So FAT, F stands for when you pick up a piece of paper, you think about, am I going to file this piece of paper? Do I need to refer to this piece of paper at some point? And if you do, then you put it in a file pile. Or I usually have a box set aside because when I'm called in, people have mounds of papers to sort through. So we put it in a file pile. The second question to ask yourself is, do I need to act on this piece of paper really soon? Like, oh, my God, I didn't realize this bill needed to be paid. Oh, my God, I have to do something this week. Then you put it in an action pile. And the third question to ask yourself is, why do I need this paper? Why do I even need to refer to this in the future? Can I get it online? Can I get it elsewhere? Do I even need it? So then toss it if you don't need it. So file, act, or toss. And don't think about where you're going to file it. Don't think that I don't have a file for it, so I have to make a file. Just put it in a file pile. Same with the action. Don't stop and take the action. Put it in the action pile, and with toss, have your shred machine there, or put it in a box that says shred or recycle. Those are your choices. Recycle or shred it, and don't stop and shred it. So while you're going through the process of sorting out these papers to get the most done, you just want to focus on the big picture, not the minutia of where am I going to file it? Do I have a file for this? When am I going to act on it? I need to do this now, whatever. Just make your piles, and then once you get through that, you know, desktop or floor, whatever section you're working on, you'll then be left with a pile of filing materials, a pile of action materials, and then things that you're going to take out and trash. So then the next step I say is that once you do that part, then you go look at your action pile because that's going to be the most urgent. And then you prioritize your action pile, and you can file the file pile on another day, another section. You know that you want to refer to those papers. You know they're all in one place instead of spread all across your desktop and all around the floor and surfaces all over the office. So if you're looking for a piece of paper, no problem. Just look in the file pile or it's going to be in your action pile. So that's just a method of getting through a lot more of the project faster without, and people stop all the time. They go, oh, okay, this needs to be shredded, so I'll shred it. And then they stop and then they get off track again. Or, oh, this doesn't belong here. I need to take it to the kitchen or I need to take it over here. So they go to the kitchen and then they get off track and they find something else that needs to be done in the kitchen. So that is
so you're physically not moving, really. You're
right.
going
you're
to three piles.
You're sitting there, you're completely focused. You're just thinking, file, act, toss, file, act, toss. And after you do that part, the clearing of the clutter, then you can start going back and saying, okay, so when am I going to act on these? I'm going to schedule these in my calendar. I'll do this today. I'll do this next week. I'll do this tomorrow. Maybe another session, you can say, okay, now I need to make up some files for these because I don't have any, or these I already have files for, so I know where to put them.
Mm. And would you say, so as people are going back to their file or action piles, what's realistic to put in? Because I'm big on putting everything in the calendar and actually carving out a time for that. So what do you think is realistic? I mean, obviously different people have different time frames, but from an attention standpoint, attention span standpoint, and from an efficiency standpoint, what would you say would be realistic for people to carve out, okay, I'm going to spend X amount of time every week filing or X amount of time doing my action pile? So that it becomes habitual, because I think that, you know, just like food and cooking and so many of the other things, if we create habits around it, then it's so much more effective for long term. So is there a general rule or something you recommend around?
There's not one rule, but I would say you know what your action pile is for the day. Every morning you should start making yourself a list of the most important things you need to get done that day. And it shouldn't be too many things. People tend to pile on way too many things. They can't possibly get them done in a day, so then they feel a sense of failure. So I always pick, you know, three or four top things that if the world were going to end, I have to get this done today.
I use that exact thing. I call it the top three to five, and I've used it with some of my clients given that recommendation. And I use little sticky notes on my computer, you know, the sticky notes application, and I say top three to five. And I do top three for work and top three for personal. And at the end of the day, those are absolutely things I have to get done that day, and I know I can sleep if those get done. And if you get more done, great, right? But
exactly.
So
and if there's other things that are what I call, I do prioritize by the ABC method. A is the top priority, B is mid priority, and C is whenever. You can add B items to your list and even C items, but you shouldn't feel any sense of failure if you don't get any of your B or C's done. You just transfer them over to the next days and change their urgency as you need to change their urgency.
Right.
But writing it down for me and for most everyone is really, really key, whether it's on the computer or it's on a piece of paper. I like to have things printed out on a piece of paper. I have a form that I've developed just for me, Daily Priorities Accomplishments, where I have a section where I write my to-dos, I write my calls all in one section, calls I have to make, I write the emails I need to make all in one section, things I need to read, review, all in one section. So I do those in groups, and that's another recommendation I make. You know, make all your calls at one time and say, okay, for this next hour, I'm going to return all my phone calls. And for this next hour, I'm going to just focus on email, nothing else. And now for this hour, I'm going to work on this project. So break those things down in like items, just as you would when you're sorting out things, decluttering. You put things in like items.
Oh, I really like that.
You know?
That's really, really useful because I know all of us check email throughout the day, and then you get sucked into something that you really did not set to do that day, or respond a long response to someone. But if you know you have an hour to do it in, and you have to get it through all of your email in an hour, that sets some parameters for you.
Yeah, and email becomes a procrastination tool for so many people. One of my other great mentors and who developed this other formula that I wanted to talk about, Julie Morgenstern, many people have heard of her. She's another high-profile organizer. She's been on everything, Oprah, and still writes for the O Magazine and all that. She has a book called Never Check Email in the Morning. So basically, most people, the first thing they do is they start checking their email. If you could delay checking your email for even just 1 hour in the morning, whether you're at your office or at home, that's going to give you so many more hours in the day, because just focus on a project having nothing to do with email, and then after you've gotten through a chunk of that project, you can check your email. Because, yeah, email is so distracting. All of a sudden there's something else that, oh, great, now I have to add this to my list that you didn't see before. But if you just delay the checking of the email for at least an hour in the morning, I think you're going to have so much more time in your day. And then limit it. Turn off all your notifications. Turn off the ding and turn off the little envelope that pops up. You don't need to be notified every time you get a new email, because that's a distraction saying, come here, come look at me instead of what you're doing. And it gets you off track.
Mm-hmm.
So just check your email like 3 or 4 times at the most during the day, but like every hour or every other hour or something like that. You have to just not be so addicted to it.
Yes.
We all are.
I think we all have this issue. Yes, and putting some time frames around Facebook and all of the other social medias, right? Maybe not every day, maybe every third day.
Turn off all the notifications.
Yes, definitely.
That's what I did with Facebook. It's like I was spending hours. I said I go in once or twice a week for a few minutes at a time, and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Okay, good. So you had indicated that you had another formula to share with us. And what is the basis of this formula? Is this life in general? Is this around office organization? How should we use this?
It's a formula for any organization project you want to start. It's a method. It's a order in which you should do things to get the greatest results from a project. And it was developed by Julie Morgenstern. Now, I've trained with Julie. I went to New York to train with her in her Empire State Building suite back in 9/11, 2001, the very month after that. We were scheduled to train that week, actually, and she had to reschedule, thank God. But that was my first taste of New York. So she developed a formula called SPACE, and I'll tell you what it means. S stands for sort. So imagine you're doing a closet. First thing you want to do is take everything out of the closet and sort everything by like item. So you put all the slacks together, all the blouses together, all the purses together, all the belts together, all the shoes together, okay? And then even sort by color or types. You'll find that, oh, my God, I have like 5 pairs of black slacks, and I really only need 2. If you didn't sort them out first, you wouldn't know this, and you wouldn't be as prone to let go of some of those things, because you need to see how many you actually have altogether. So sort first. P stands for purge. You sort it out, you see what you have, and then you can more intelligently make a decision on what you can let go of. Okay, after you purge, then you see what's left, and then you can look in your closet and say, okay, with what I have left, where are my homes going to be? You assign homes. Where am I going to put my shoes? Where am I going to put my belts? Where am I going to put my slacks, blouses, etc.? After you assign homes, you then see, which stands for containerize. You say, okay, what kind of shoe organizer am I going to use? What kind of belt organizer? How am I going to contain my sweaters and things like that? A lot of times people go out and they buy all these pretty containers, and they don't have a clue of what they're going to do with them. And they get them home, and then the containers become part of the clutter because they haven't analyzed it yet. They haven't sorted, purged, and assigned homes. They just get these containers. And then the containers are part of the problem. So that's why there's a method. There's a an actual formula of when to do these things. Sort, purge, assign homes, containerize. And E simply stands for equalize, meaning you have to constantly sort, purge, reassign homes, recontainerize as your life grows, evolves, changes. So you're just equalizing the system all the time, because organizing is not a one-time event. It's a process. And that's another mistake people make. They think, okay, I'm going to get organized, and then everything's going to be cool, and I can just sit back and let it go. You have to continually sort, purge, assign homes. As you bring new things in, you have to let the old things go.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's
so you don't just organize once a year, is what you're saying.
We don't brush our teeth once a week, do we?
Right, what happens? Or we don't just focus on healthy food once a year, right?
Yeah.
Or
every New Year's, I'm going to get fit, and then we're good for three months, and then we're back to the old, you know.
Exactly. So what is a? I mean, you know, based upon that, I mean, I'm a very structured person. That's how my brain works. So I literally have to put everything in my calendar in order for it to happen, because it doesn't come necessarily natural to me to create this process of equalizing. So if I put it in my calendar, what's realistic? What's something that I should shoot for in order to continue that process and make it effective for so that it doesn't get out of control and I'm not overwhelmed?
I think what I'm hearing is you're looking for like a timeline, like a routine, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's just going to be different for everyone, but as a rule in your office, I think that at least every quarter it would be a great time to set aside a couple hours, I mean, 2 hours minimum, to just focus on going through your files and purging all the unnecessary. You know, this is no longer useful. These can be shredded now. I don't need these bank statements. Why am I holding on to them? I've reconciled everything. I don't need to look at them again. You know, as far as your closets, maybe once or twice a year. Closets, depending on how big, they can take anywhere from 3 hours to, you know, a full day.
Mm-hmm.
Again, depending on how big, they could take several days. So everyone's different. But once you get it completely organized, then it's just a matter of maintenance. And really, just a couple hours at a time, once a month, you can pick an area in your home to just focus on for a couple hours at a time.
Sure. And for those of us that have issues, and I'm not one of them, but I know a lot of people have issues with this, letting go of things. So you get to the purge formula, or you get to that line item, and you look at it and you sit and you contemplate it because it has some sort of, my daughter, for instance, this is a great example. She is extremely sentimental. So if she gets a receipt from a place that she went to a friend, you know, I mean, it brings back memories to her, and she feels compelled and an emotional attachment to keep it, and she feels that she's betraying her friend if she lets go of it. There's a lot that goes around that.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I'm sure that is a very, I'm sure you deal with this all the time. Do you have any tools for people to utilize to release that energy, and also making logical, obviously some of it's logical, but a lot of it's emotional. So do you have any advice on that?
Questions I ask are going to vary with the people that I'm with, but I ask tons of questions, and I teach them how to ask these questions of themselves. First of all, for highly sentimental people, usually they're the ones with the most clutter. They just won't let go of this stuff. And however, they're not honoring the stuff usually. Usually that precious receipt is crumpled up in the middle of a drawer full of a lot of other junk that they maybe forgot was there for months or years, until all of a sudden they're cleaning out their junk drawer and they're going, oh my God, there's that receipt. It reminds me of this and this person, and we had such a fun time, and da 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 da, and I can't possibly let this go. Well, then if this is such a precious memory and a precious thing, why haven't you been honoring it?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then maybe the ink has already rubbed off and you can't even see the date on it anymore. same thing with all of these things that people keep in their attics and garages in cardboard boxes were rats and silverfish and dust and all these things can get in and eventually mold and mildew can destroy. These are precious memories that people are holding on to, but they're not honoring those memories. So I bring this stuff up not to make people feel guilty, but to think about if this really, really is precious to you, then let's find a way to display it, to honor it, to use it. And if you don't have room for it, think about what you can let go of so that you can make room for it. Or think about that item again and say, why does this have such a hold on me? You know, can I still honor that person's memory or this event or this place we traveled to without having to have every single brochure or ticket or picture that has to do with this event or person? Can I just pick a few favorites and then let go of the rest and maybe even be ceremonial about it? Just have a little bonfire of
sure.
burning precious memories and letting everything go up in smoke, but in a nice, positive way,
sure.
you know, in a prayerful, meditative way.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah, I like that.
So there's lots of ways you can let go of things. You have to ask all the right questions. Why am I hanging on to it? Why aren't I honoring this if I really think it's so precious? And how can I either honor it or let go of it?
Mm.
And that's usually where I come in because I know all the questions to ask. And I just get people thinking about it in a totally non-judgmental way, just like, well, think about this.
Sure.
Why do you think you feel this way? Why do you think you're holding on to this? Is it bringing you positive memories? That's the other thing. If it's bringing you negative memories, all the more reason to let that item go.
Mm-hmm.
Just because someone gave it to you, grandmother gave it to you, well, if you had a horrible relationship with grandmother and you just feel like you should give it to you, I mean, you should save it because grandmother gave it to you, then it's like you're in bondage. You're in bondage to that item. And you should have control over your life, over what you want to keep, over what you love. And I think you should keep only what you love and what's very useful. And if it's no longer useful at any time, then let someone else make it very useful for them and let someone else love that item.
Yeah, and it could be an absolute treasure for someone else and very useful for someone else. And this could be an item that's sitting in your garage or in your storage unit that you have not seen for 3 years or missed, right?
Yes.
So, yeah, that's huge. And I would like to share just a personal story because I think this is really relevant. And it's definitely it's been huge for me. As we moved from the East Coast to the West Coast, we actually sold our home and sold everything in it. And we really had one container that moved out with us. And since then, we have gotten rid of about 50% of that container.
Amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. And obviously, and most of the people on this call know that I went through a lot of health issues, and that was a big reason for some of these decisions. But it has been an amazing experience. But what I will tell you is we pay monthly for the storage container, and granted, it is a process. It is not easy to get rid of everything at once. And it has been amazing that we've been able to do it at the pace that we've been doing it. But what I will tell you is the things that we're paying for monthly in that container, I cannot remember or miss one thing that's in that container. And even though everyone does not have storage containers, they have attics, they have garages, they have basements, right, and storage rooms, that type of thing, it is very similar in that we are really holding on to so many things that if you really consider what is in that attic, what is in that storage room, what is in that basement, what is in that storage container, and you truly think about it, and if you're not missing it on a day-to-day basis, is it time to let it go? And that has been a really big question that we continue to ask ourselves on a monthly basis. And again, it's a process. So we have set a goal to get rid of our storage container by June of this year.
Ooh, that's amazing. That's great. I love it.
Yeah, so that, I mean, but again, it's a process. It's mm-hmm. not something I can do right this second, but it is, you know, it's something that we're working towards. And I just want to convey how incredibly key this has been to my health personally and to my family's health and our relationships, and it's allowed for so many other things to come into our lives. And I know we talked about this earlier, but I just felt compelled to share that story because it is an extremely personal story to me, and it's extremely relatable to my health journey and my healing process. And that's a big reason I wanted to bring you in, Jana, because I cannot put enough emphasis on the fact that organization, clearing clutter, getting rid of, making more room, increasing positive energy, how much that can affect the healing process in all of our lives, no matter what your health goals are. Anyway, that, I digress, but I felt as we were going down that road, I felt like that was I really needed to share that. So, but are there any other things that you just, you know, that you're really excited to share about today? I love that formula. I think that that's so key. And actually, I really love those questions, especially the one about honoring it, because that is so true. And it reframes it for everyone. Instead of feeling lost, you feel positive about, okay, what do I do this to honor it? And if I don't feel compelled to honor it, I can get rid of it. I love that.
Right.
Is there anything? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, yeah, when you were saying that you don't really miss most of the things in your storage unit, you think about, you know, what's the quality of your life been like not having to have all that extra stuff in your life? The more mm-hmm. stuff you have, the more time it takes for you to maintain that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The more you have to clean, the more you have to pick up, the more you have to repair, the more you have to, you know, cart with you back and forth. So your life is just going to be simplified all around the more you let go of stuff and
right.
focus more on the quality of your relationships.
Mm-hmm. And experiences within your life. And that's
yeah.
been key for us, is being not having to take care of things, but being able to take care of ourselves and the experiences within our lives, so we have so much more time to go do things rather
yeah.
than really what I and honestly what I spent a lot of time doing when I had a lot of stuff was shifting things around, right? Cleaning up
yeah,
the storage room, moving things.
What do we call that? Oh, churning. There's a term organizers use. We call that churning. We're churning. We're just moving it from place to place instead of
right.
making a decision on it, a final decision on whether it stays or goes, and then where does it go.
Yeah, interesting.
So that's what professional organizers do a lot of. We help direct the project. We help get people focused and making decisions, because it's the lack of a decision that actually creates clutter. You pick something up, you put it back down, you don't know what to do with it, so it's just laying there. And if you make a final decision on it, then you're not going to have the clutter.
Well, Jana?
So one thing I could do is give you some tips on how to make your organizing projects more successful.
Well, I apologize. I think we lost Jana for a minute there. Let me just determine what is the problem, and we will get back to you in just a minute. But for the meantime, I will give you all Jana's website. It's www.sensible.
I'm back. What happened?
Oh, you are? Thanks.
Yeah.
I was
giving
everyone your website.
And then I was waiting for a response from you, and then, okay.
That is so strange. Well,
yeah.
Let's just continue, because
so
this
what
has
I
been
was
a great
going
session.
To do, I was just going to talk about the top things I want people to know to help them be successful when tackling an organizing project.
Great,
you know,
great.
They
what are those things?
Tackle it on their own or with someone else. But one, you need to schedule the time. You need to set things up, write it in your calendar, make a date with yourself, and say, for these 3-4 hours, I'm going to tackle this organizing project, and nothing's going to get in my way. So put it in your calendar, make it a meeting, get the kids off someplace if you have kids, no distractions, okay? So anything you can do to cut out the distractions, do that. Two, if you really think you're going to have a hard time focusing and doing it on your own, then please ask for help. And it doesn't, you don't have to pay for it. You don't have to pay a professional organizer, but that's certainly an option. If you have the right acquaintance, friend, particularly someone who's not too, too close, you know, especially family members, because they tend to be a little too close to the situation and sometimes judgmental, you need mm-hmm. someone who can remain very objective just to help you stay focused and
right.
ask questions so that you can make these decisions. So,
and Jana, with that point, I know we're going to talk a little bit about how to contact you if folks that are listening, you know, want to go to the next step and get support with you here in the San Diego area, and then, of course, over the phone with you. But there are a lot of people kind of around the nation that are in this program, and if they do need someone physically there, what is a good resource for them? Is it the certified professional organizers? How would they get in touch with somebody in their local area?
I would say go to NAPO.net. NAPO stands for National Association of Professional Organizers. And there is an organizer search tool where you can search all over the nation for a professional organizer in your area. Okay,
great.
So that would be the first thing. And then if you can get down to the local chapter, if you have a local chapter in your area, even better, because these are organizers who are serious about their businesses and about continually improving their education and being the best they can be. And we follow a code of ethics, and we're really serious and passionate about what we do. So I would say find an APO organizer. If you want someone even better, look for a certified organizer, professional organizer. And these are usually organizers with a lot more experience in the bag, a lot more qualifications. Of course, it will probably cost a little more, too, but it'll make things happen a lot quicker for you.
Great.
So it's all relative. So NAPO.net.
Okay. NAPO.net. Terrific. I didn't want to interrupt, but I knew
that
might
be
a question on people's minds. Okay. Go ahead.
And then, of course, my information, I guess, afterwards, you can go directly to my website if you want to talk to me. And anyone who calls me, I'll give them a complimentary free phone consultation. No problem. That's just standard. Okay. So the other thing
you want
to do when you're doing your organizer projects is you want to have all your tools ready. So you want to be organized to get organized, right? You want to have sorting boxes, bins, bags. You want to have a Sharpie and some Post-it notes. I like to use Post-it notes and stick them on the boxes and bins so I don't have to do anything permanent. And just write something like, let's say you're in the office. You're going to write file on this box, act on this box, toss on this box, or shred on this box, recycle on the other box. If it's maybe a closet, you'll write donate, gift, repair, dry cleaners, something like that. You want to label things even as you're sorting things through so you'll know what your next step's going to be for those things. Sometimes you'll want to have measuring tape handy. Sometimes, you know, gloves, dust rag, depending on how dirty it is. Letter opener when you're sorting through papers or a box cutter. So you just need to think it through and say, what kind of tools am I going to need to make this project more successful? And then have room in your vehicle ready so that you can haul away whatever you're going to haul away, you know, donation items. So use the space formula or the fat formula if you're sorting through papers. And those things can be reiterated, I believe, on your website, correct, or on this?
Yes, yes. Well, we will have a document uploaded with the formulas there for everyone, and then, of course, the suggestions that you made on how to get started and putting them in your calendar and that type of thing. So all of those resources will be there. Also, your website, sensibleorganizing.com, will be up there. And then, of course, your very generous offer to help people with a complimentary consultation, either in person, is that right, in San Diego, or over the phone if they're not here?
No,
is that
all
correct?
My consultations, all my complimentary consultations are on the phone.
Are
and
on
whenever
the phone.
I come out to you, it's paid time.
Okay, great. So a complimentary consultation over the phone, and we will, I invite people to take you up on that because I know we've learned a lot just from the hour that we've been with you, and I know that people will really learn even more and be able to take it to the next level if they get on the phone one-to-one with you, as that is always a much more effective way of doing it. And I just want to thank you, really, from the bottom of my piles of paper on my desk to my messy drawer in my kitchen. I mean, everyone has one of those. And I don't understand why everyone has one of those, but it seems to be a very common theme.
Yeah.
And I'm really inspired myself to create a plan and use these formulas and put them into action. And I know as the space around me becomes clear, and for all of us becomes clear, then we create more space to heal internally and externally. And when we are less stressed about our environment, it frees up time and energy to focus on ourselves and, of course, our health. So I just really want to thank you so much for being a very key expert in this process and this program of Living Health 365. And is there anything else that you would like to share with the group before we finish up here?
Thank you for inviting me, but I love this. One thing I did want to say is that anyone can get organized if they want it bad enough. I mean, nobody is hopeless, really.
Mm.
If you're just, but you have to be willing to change old habits, and that is the very hardest part. It takes a while to change old habits. So you have to think about that. What are your self-defeating habits that have been holding you back for many years on getting organized? And then ask the right person to help you. Just like some talents come naturally, piano playing, singing, some people are born with that gift. And then some people have to take lesson after lesson after lesson, but they can still learn to be a brilliant piano player. And no matter how talented you are, you have to practice to hone in your skills to be able to keep that up, to be able to keep the talent. So anyone can do it.
Great. Well, I am hopeful, and I hope everyone else is who's participating in the call. And again, thank you very much, and we hope to be hearing more from you soon throughout the Southern California area. And then of course, on your website, you have newsletters and that type of thing, so people – feel free to take.
Yes, if you email me and you request it, I will put you on my monthly quick tips newsletter. It's very brief. It's just quick tips. Just let me know, and I'll send it to you, and you can unsubscribe at any time as well.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Dana. Have a wonderful day, and we will talk to you soon.
Okay. Stay organized.
Bye-bye. Thanks.